If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
A pleasant good afternoon from your friends Grant and Danny on this Wednesday, April 9th, 2025. Just after 2 o'clock, out and about live at Nationals Park, where the locals are looking for a series sweep over the defending World Series champion Dodgers and what would be a fifth consecutive win. 5-6 Washington, 9-4 Los Angeles. Right here at Nats Park today, if you're coming to the game, stop by and say hello. The Caps still idle, third straight day off after Sunday's historical achievement. They're back in action tomorrow night. We'll talk to Jacob Chychrun for the first time since Ovi broke the record at 3 o'clock today in 1 hour right here on The Fan. What's up, Danny?
What do you say, buddy? I was here last – seems like I never left. I was here late last night doing the postgame show. You and I are going to be doing a lot of those throughout the season, which is awesome here. At Nats Park, and it was so cold. I brought a hot tea down from the press box and set it down. By the time I got my computer set up and was ready to start, you know, listening in to Charlie and Dave last couple innings, it was no longer hot tea. It was just tea. And then it became iced tea shortly thereafter. Freezing, and the Nats got a pretty cool win, no pun intended, in frigid temperatures. It'll be brisk today, but the sun is out, so it's nice.
It's actually really pretty right now. I'm dressed better for the weather than I was when I was here doing postgame two nights ago when I was freezing everything off. But right now I'm actually really comfortable. The sun is out, which helps, to your point. There's a little wind whipping around. But when you wear the long pants and the jacket, you get warmer. That's generally how it happens.
Let me write that down.
And so I took some notes on the weather before I left my house.
Atta baby.
And dressed accordingly today like a grown-up would do. I want to get into the updates on the quest for the Commanders to play home games in the city, back at the old RFK site. Because there is a development we'll get to in just about 5 minutes. But very quickly, I want to talk about some of the young stars in DC sports. Because we're in a pretty good place right now in terms of the youth breaking out in front of our eyes early in their careers to become difference-making players. And it came to my attention as I started thinking about this last night as James Wood homered twice. So that means over two games, he's now hit three home runs. He's gone deep in consecutive games. And Wood, who's the most talented, best player on this Nationals club, a future superstar, continues to come into his own in front of our eyes.
Here is James Wood. Swings and belts one. Deep right center field. How far will it go? Going, going, gone, goodbye. Zoom goes James Wood again with his second two-run home run in the first four innings of this game.
James Wood's only 22. He won't turn 23 until the final month of this baseball season and is one of the youngest everyday players in the big leagues. He's also one of the most powerful. But he also has elite speed. He beat out a ground ball in the infield for an infield hit.
Easily yesterday, too. Unbelievable.
Three-hit game on base four times with a walk. In fact, through 90 games of his career now, Danny, he's been on base three times, more than all but almost every National ever in their first 90 games. Only names like Harper, Turner, and Soto are ahead of him on that list. He's one of five guys to have ever done it. But I bring him up to say it's happening.
Yeah.
And it's so obvious. If you watch this guy for 5 minutes, he is going to be an exceptional player. Dylan Cruz could end up being really good. There are some players around here who have a chance, like C.J. Abrams or Mackenzie Gore, to be terrific. James Wood's different. This could be an MVP award winner. This could be D.C.'s Judge, or you know, the closest thing we'll have post-Soto to a player of that caliber. And he's putting it together now at 22. Danny, he's doing this in freezing cold temperatures.
Yep.
With the ball not traveling. These balls would be flying 50 feet further a couple months from now.
They will be.
And he's doing it left on left, oh, by the
way. Three of his four bombs against lefties.
These are wow moments that we're seeing from James Wood.
Unless you played, and I didn't play at the big leagues, obviously. I'm not trying to say I did. But unless you played at least like a medium to high level, you don't understand that he hit a first-pitch curveball from a left-handed pitcher over the wall in right center field last night after hammering an opposite field backspin fastball off of that same left-handed pitcher on a first pitch. Like, that's a video game with the difficulty turned down. Like, human beings can't do those sorts of things. We used to talk about this with Juan Soto all the time, his ability to hammer opposite field home runs or go to dead center, left on left. What's uncomfortable for most is just fine and dandy for James Wood. That's so 400-level advanced stuff for a 22-year-old kid who's just sort of, oh, shucks, I don't know. Like, what he's doing is countering their counter. So he takes a bunch of pitches, right? There are times where he won't even swing the bat in an AB, so the word's out. Well, you better get ahead early. Good luck with that. Now what do you do? Go ahead and spin your curveball up there for get me over strike. How about you get a new baseball strike? How about that? How about he hammers it 400-some-odd feet into the freezing cold night last night? What an unbelievably gifted, incredible player this guy is now. I shudder to think what he's going to be, you know, two seasons from now.
Three home runs in his last five at-bats with the long balls in two straight games now after going 3-for-4 yesterday, and he's 7-for-his-last-21 at the plate with three bolts. But as I said, as much as I just wanted to talk about how good James Wood is, I think there's a larger conversation to have here, which is the state of some of the young stars that are breaking out in front of our eyes in D.C. sports. So you've got him with the Nats. I think Cruz is also, as a former number two overall pick, a top prospect, was one of the most likely rookie of the year candidates, according to odds makers, before the season. Was off to a slow start offensively. He's coming into form. A couple of hits last night. But he could be on this short list as well. The Capitals have two guys at 24 years old that are both excellent. Alexi Protas, who played at an all-star level this year, and Connor McMichael. Protas, a 30-goal scorer, one of three with Tom Wilson and Alex Ovechkin in 76 games. Now, plus-minus has never been a stat I like a whole lot because, in much as anything else, it's indicative of how good the team is. But a plus-40 this year. When you look at his analytical metrics for per minutes on ice or per shift or per game, at even strength, you can make the case he is the most efficient best player in the NHL at even strength.
Well, yeah,
this year.
He was leading the league in plus minus.
24-year-old. But I don't even mean plus minus. I mean like goals per shift and goals per 60 and some of those individualized metrics. McMichael, who's got 25 goals as a 24-year-old this year, maybe not to the extent that Protas, because of his size, has become a star, but has been really, really good. So the Caps have two guys representing them in this conversation.
And in Ryan Leonard, too. We'll talk about the future. I mean, he's not, at, you know, hadn't done a ton yet, but that's not to say he won't.
Well, I'll take, you know, the stock in him over the other two guys,
sure,
probably.
Yeah.
Even though he's in week one in the NHL, that's a good point. Just playing at BC. Then you've got the Commanders and Jaden Daniels, obviously. The star quarterback from LSU, who last year was the rookie of the year and a fringe MVP candidate, having a historical season the likes of which we've never seen from a kid before. I don't know if I'd throw Mikey Sanra still in the conversation. I really like him as a corner. I thought he had an awesome rookie year. Is he on the level that we're talking about of a 30-goal scorer or James Wood? Who's
it's
like,
so hard to quantify. Very good player, I think we know that.
Yeah.
But what is that? How does that look for a corner that at times it's unheralded and unsexy?
So maybe he's you know in the next tier down.
Yeah.
Maybe the Commanders just have Daniels. And then the Wizards. I would put Saar there from what I've seen this season. But
he's got a great chance to win Rookie of the Year. Now, it's a very soft class.
Do you think so?
He's got a shot.
Because I think Stephon Castle's run away with
it. Well, let me rephrase it. He has a – he's in the conversation. See, he probably won't, but I mean, listen.
According to sports books right now, just for the sake of the conversation, Castle is like minus 1,400,
yeah,
and Saar is like plus 750. So it's not much of a debate at this moment, which isn't to take away from the fact that Saar, 13.6 rebounds, has had a hell of a season.
Yeah, this is, again, it's a softer class where they're not going to win it in 1 year. In another year, it might be competitive. This, again, not a great rookie class, but Saar has held his own and has proven this is a valuable piece in some way. I don't know what it ends up becoming. I don't know if he's the second best player on a playoff team, or if he's the a Miles Turner type figure where he can be very useful to just about anybody, or a skill set you envy. I know this. They found something right there with Saar. So yeah, he's a really interesting young player.
So my thinking on James Wood is I would only put Jaden Daniels above him, and it's way closer to Jaden Daniels for me than I think it would be for most people. And in fact, if you think of it like a NASCAR race as to where the cars are, when they show the standings on the left side of the screen, it shows you how many seconds back each car is. And like the guy in second might be right behind the guy in first and 9 seconds ahead of the guy in third, right? I view James Wood as on a tier that is maybe with Daniels, very, very close to JD5, and well ahead of everybody else. To me, as much as people in this town talk about James Wood, we have not scratched the surface on the discussion as to what this kid could be. Now, I'm not promising you he maxes out on his potential. I don't have a crystal ball, and I don't know if the Nats have had a guy, do that they've had to develop other than Juan Soto and some of the guys before him. Certainly not since. But at his maximum, I think we're talking about someone who could hit 45 or so home runs and win MVP awards at the major league level. A truly special, generational-ish type talent. I think that's what James Wood is. And man, am I happy he's here. Now, this is a toxic discussion.
Yeah.
With the fan base, because I can't post one thing about James Wood without getting 20 tweets from annoying people about how one day he'll leave, can't wait till he's a Yankee. And that toxicity is infuriating to me and will continue to bother me. But it's reality until it isn't. And they brought it on themselves because they don't re-sign any of their own. But I don't care about that right now. Right. I got 6 more years of watching James Wood do things that very few people on the planet can do.
Well, my only thing I'd add to that, I co-sign it, is Daniels plays the most outsized important position there is in sports. So if Jaden Daniels was a tight end or a wide receiver or, I don't know, a free safety, we would be having a different conversation. He's not. He plays the thing that we're going, oh, my God, I've been starving in the desert for decades for this thing. Since Joe Theismann broke his leg, I've hungered for this thing, and I got it now. So because that's such a critical thing that either you have a chance or you don't, and we were in the don't category for, 38 of the last 40 years, whatever you want to call it, right? The fact that he's here now, that's why he's so beloved. Obviously, he's excellent. He's a great dude. Nothing wrong with it. But because that position, I think, is so important, it's going to be hard to quantify 1v1.
Well, it's
right?
Like the MVP award. Like, if you're right. A quarterback, you can win it if you're something else. It's a great point, actually. Him being a QB is a separator.
Because the MVP of the NFL, let's say it's Jaden Daniels one day, right, which very well could be, that means you probably won 12, 13 games. The MVP in baseball could be Mike Trout. It could be Alex Rodriguez on a 100-loss team. I mean, not likely. Usually they give it to teams that are winning. But it still takes 23, 24 other guys, a whole bunch of other dudes supporting the group, starting pitching every fifth day, a good bullpen to get to where the team might want to go. The MVP in baseball, to me, it's awesome. It's very, very cool. Nothing, because it's just a different sport, can have that outsized impact of you are one of the teams with one of these dudes.
Well, I should also point this out. I mean, if Daniels plays in perpetuity like he played this season, then he'll run away and hide with this thing because he's one of the top 5 or so quarterbacks in the National Football League. And if he does that, by the way, to your point, he will win some MVP awards.
Uh-huh.
I just don't think that position is linear, and maybe I'm one of the few guys in town that still has these concerns. I still think injuries are a possibility in that violent game with his frame.
Of course.
So, yes, if he plays like he did this year every single year, then there's no doubt that's the guy in this town for a long, long time. It's also football, not baseball.
Yep.
Just a more dominant sport in terms of fanfare, media, what have you, even with a shrunken fan base, in my opinion, from years ago post-name change. But Jaden Daniels is that dude. I just, we just saw a 10 out of 10 season. Does he have more of those in store in short order? Are we getting one next year or the year after? If he does come back to the pack a little bit, then there's an opening if James Wood in the next couple of years is making all-star appearances and hitting 30 bombs. But, you know, Major League Baseball would be smart to get on board. The only thing J-Dub does not really have going for him here is, in terms of marketability, the thing that I love about him and that really have gotten to enjoy in getting to know him some makes it a little harder, I think, to sell him. He is the most nonchalant, this sounds negative, but I don't mean it that way, like energy-less person you'll ever meet in-game. It's easier to market someone who's got that pizzazz and hair on fire, flair for the dramatic, and, you know, doing celebrations and bat flipping and everything. He's the opposite of all of that. He is a hard 90, like, let me just trot down the line. Let me just go do my thing, and if I smile, I'll cover my face with a glove. Really, really good kid.
Yeah,
but
wonderful kid.
If baseball's smart, they'll get on board and they'll sell him for their product because, you know, he could be a face of this whole thing in a couple years, and it's nice to have him here in the nation's capital. I told you I wanted to get to RFK Stadium, though, so here's the update. This was from Eric Flack, our good buddy from Channel 9, who's been reporting on this.
Pretty much on that beat, seems like.
Daily at this juncture. He said sources tell him that stadium discussions between D.C. and the Commanders are progressing as we speak. He says D.C. is waiting for a budget fix from Congress. Weird, by the way.
Yep.
Waiting and budgets and
the
Congress.
Waiting.
We haven't done this yet where we're waiting on anything, right?
Yeah. Has anyone waited?
No deal would be announced until after a bill passes restoring the D.C. budget. He says that likely will not happen until the end of April at the earliest, so that's a few weeks out. But he goes on to say the Commanders continue to negotiate with the mayor's office. They're updating council members. Bowser would be the one to agree to terms. Council still has to approve an agreement. He said something around $500-plus million is in line with what others got in the past. D.C. investment focused on infrastructure is kind of where they would lean as far as that money goes. But I just think it's so obvious to me. Whenever Josh Harris or any of the ownership group speaks, they mention D.C. as an entity with Virginia, with Maryland, that it's just this open season conversation. Whoever wants the stadium, you come talk to us. Everybody's got a shot. No, they don't. You guys want it to be in D.C., and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But you've always wanted it to be in D.C.
Uh-huh.
All of the efforts right now are going toward D.C. Let's just call a spade a spade. If it ain't D.C., it's going to be a major bummer for the fans and for you and for everybody. It's a letdown. You want D.C., right? Like, we could bet a lot of money right now that it's D.C. if it's just up to the football team. And I think that's been the case for a few years, maybe forever. But certainly, they have not hidden that over the last couple of years.
I think that's always been the vision. Because I think this group is too smart to screw this up, without a better way to say it. They know that's the most premium spot. And there's, you know, some of it's tradition, and I think everybody's aware in their deepest and kind of, you know, I don't know, deep down, that you can't recreate RFK. That can't happen. Because, A, it's like building code violations, but B, you know, it's that magic and how perfect it was. Those stadiums are different now. The expectations are different. So you're trying to use that central site, which would make sense for everybody. Everyone have to sacrifice a little bit in terms of commuting there. Maryland folks have to sacrifice, Virginia folks, D.C. folks in a different way. Everyone has to give up a little bit to get something. And it's the most centrally located part, you would say, for all three subsections of this local fan base, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And it just makes too much sense. It's too intuitive. It's too good. The area is ripe for it. I know there needs to be a lot of work done. I know the infrastructure isn't there. I know the highway system isn't there. I know the parking isn't there. That's the whole point. The smart people are on that, and they're going to try to make it as good as it can be. I know this. It's a dramatic improvement, whatever it is. I'll tell you sight unseen over the current setup and current system. But, yeah, they've had their heart set on D.C. I think they know that's where what's best for the team, what's best for the org. The most money probably long-term is there because it makes fan and fan engagement the highest.
Do you agree with the premise that the Commander's outfit from the top is desperate to get the team back in D.C.? That's the word I would use. I think there is a desperation. We can open up the phones for you guys at 800-636-1067 on that. Or do you think they'd be just as fine putting the team in Virginia or Maryland. Plus, what an unnamed executive said about Jaden Daniels slumping in year two and what we think about that. We'll get to that in a moment. We're live at Nationals Park. Show's out and about. You're listening to The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Live from Nats Park in D.C., we're Grant and Danny. Fittingly, downtown for a D.C. sports teams game today, where they play. As we're talking about the RFK site, the report today from Eric Flack is that things are moving forward between the Commanders and Washington, D.C. They're still waiting on a budget resolution that's needed later in April, end of this month. But the Commanders continue to negotiate with Muriel Bowser's office while updating council members. Bowser would be the one to agree to terms of a deal. And she's on board. That's been pretty obvious.
Yeah, it's been one of her
for months.
Tentpoles, yeah.
Absolutely. She's whatever they say, she's going to do, right? Mm-hmm. That's obvious. But council is going to have to approve the agreement. There's a little bit more, I would say, politics and work to be done there, although I still don't believe that's a major hurdle. I think for everybody, and we've heard of a couple of folks that are not completely on board, there's probably one or two members that are.
Well, when you know, budget shortfalls happen and the potential revenue happens and we can stand in front and cut a ribbon and, you know, have some good face time with positive emotions of a team coming back. I think those sorts of, you know, grandstanding concerns that usually happen when it comes to these sorts of deals will get quieted. Yeah, to your point, it's an obstacle. It's a pain, but I do think it gets overcome.
800-636-1067 is the number on the listener lines. You want to hop in. Sean is in Falls Church on line one, wants to discuss the Commanders going into D.C. Are you with us that it seems like the team is desperate for the RFK site?
I appreciate taking the call. Thanks, guys. I do think that the desperation kind of fits with the success of the team. How I mean is that I think right now people are like, yeah, no, that sounds like a great idea. That would be a great thing. I think that the team starts going 8-9, 9-8, 7-10. People start going, I really need the team in D.C. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the team is good. I think that that's a good, I don't know, maybe distraction away from the focus of where the team is.
Interesting. So, yeah, I appreciate the phone call, dude. So, long term, I guess the point that I would make to add on to that is there are going to be ups and downs. There will be a time in this team's future where Jaden Daniels doesn't play here, and they aren't very good. And
by the way, he just doesn't play great for a stretch. That's allowed too.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. Like there are fluctuations. Like the Nationals have been bad, really good, pretty bad, and now hopefully on the rise again. That's sports, right? That's the building. So. Nobody really cared that much last year that the stadium is the worst in sports. You kind of dealt with it, and it was more fun because they won all but one home game, I think, right? So, but yeah, there are going to be times where they don't win all but one home game, and they lose a bunch, and, you know, what's the best path forward? So I guess to that point, you still need to make the right business decision. It seems like that's what we're talking about here. This ownership group has gotten it from Jump Street that right decision is the RFK site.
The only part of last year's success that could be affecting their urgency or desperation now could be the ability to strike while the iron's hot, if that's what he was getting at. I wasn't quite able to follow all of that. But I think what he meant early on in the call maybe was they feel like you're going to get your best deal right now from a business standpoint.
Yeah.
If you're the Commanders, because you're – and I don't just mean the stadium. I mean anything. You want to be my official soft drink. You want to be my official pizza person. You want to be my official radio station.
People are clamoring to be part of it, yeah.
You get to be part of the Jaden Daniels train. You get to be part of an NFC championship game team. You get to be part of a club that won 2 playoff games last year. So maybe they are wanting to negotiate right now. It's like you and I going to the negotiation table in a world where we got to do that. Where our ratings were great or something, you know? Like, it's about timing for them, and the timing is exceptional at this moment because of the way Daniels played, which gets me to something I wanted to bring up. I was reading a piece in The Athletic, and it was really well done. They talked to executives all over the league, and they basically asked, without sourcing and without attributing any quotes to any one person publicly, for insight and enlightenment on everybody's offseason. So they had all 32 teams, and they broke down what each team did this offseason with unnamed sources, right? For the Commanders, one executive said, quote, I'm afraid that's a team that's going to have the quarterback hit the sophomore slump. This is an unnamed executive in the NFL. Now you have invested in all these older guys, and you're not really building a team anymore. You're just adding pieces. At some point, you get diminishing returns with all those old guys. End quote. The idea first that Daniels will have a sophomore slump, that he's going to slow down and or take a step back, a la last year's sensation going into year two, C.J. Stroud, which happened, which this executive apparently went on to allude to. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, he's going, I don't really like how they're building around him because that's a possibility. And when that happens, now you're just a year older and you're signing a bunch of guys on one-year deals. The second part is actually a really interesting critique that I'm not willing to rule out right away. The first part I bristle at, and I don't think it's just me being prideful or a homer. I just think that Daniel's style of play, while not slump-proof, I don't worry about him playing poorly. if you want to tell me maybe it's not going to be as amazing as his rookie year, there's going to be a few more trying moments than a year where it seemed like they didn't happen because you're playing a tougher schedule and you're playing harder teams on the road or whatever, okay, maybe I could see that. If you end up playing a string of defenses the caliber of which you didn't play last year, maybe. But I have a hard time imagining a real legitimate step backwards. It could be a step sideways, or you could play at the same level, and maybe it's not as good statistically because they're playing a superior opponent from last year. But I don't know. What do you think about that quote?
I actually think it's – I mean, it's kind of been my cautionary tale throughout, and it sounds like I'm somehow negative on Jaden Daniels, which could not be further from the truth. But the reality sets in. It happens. So we viewed – I keep pointing this out – we viewed Houston this year at 10-7, who won a playoff game. They were 10-7 the year before and won a playoff game, as this letdown, as this failure. Well, because what happened? The expectations were through the roof. Remember the preseason discussion. Everybody's power rankings, their top five. They're going to challenge Buffalo, challenge Kansas City. They're next on the block. Is C.J. Stroud the next blah, 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 blah. He played fine. It wasn't bad. It wasn't benchable. It wasn't Bryce Young level stuff. It wasn't Anthony Richardson. It was just sort of pedestrian. And their schedule was more challenging. They, Houston, understanding, they go, oh my God, look at this. We got the guy. We got a great young head coach. We got the dude at quarterback. The most important thing. Let's go get a great pass rusher. Let's go do, and they're doing the things that, frankly, you and I have been advocating for. Let's go capitalize on this window right now with this young stud at quarterback. And they were just kind of okay. They didn't really beat anybody any good. They won some of their, you know, knocked in some of their par putts, but their wins are like Jacksonville, Tennessee, Chicago. They lost to pretty much every good team on their schedule. We start looking at it, Detroit and Kansas City and beyond. So it was viewed as this big disappointment. This is setting up exactly like Washington in this coming year, where you're going, you got the superstar young quarterback. You got the right head coach. Everybody's feeling great about themselves. They were just the NFC Championship game. What's the expectation? It's probably that or better this year. And if they're just okay, everyone's going to view it as a big colossal failure. And so to me, that's kind of my cautionary tale throughout all of this is, this isn't that bad, but we're viewing it as a failure.
So I'm going to look at this through the lens of Stroud and the Texans too, not to argue your point, but because I think that's the most fitting, right? And in Stroud's case, he had almost an identical season, a little bit down, but because it was from year one to year two, uh-huh, where there's supposed to be growth, I think it was viewed as a bigger regression maybe even than it was. But it's fair to say he did not make the leap with more talent around him that you would have anticipated.
Right.
Number one, the offensive line in front of him was god-awful. It was terrible. That was malpractice probably in hindsight by the way that they built that thing. Mm-hmm. That's not going to be the case for Washington. Funny enough, they traded for the only good offensive lineman he had, Laremy Tunsil, who was the great lineman on a horrendous offensive line last year. And so they are upgrading their offensive line. They're bringing pieces in to help them, whereas that was not a priority for the Texans, number one. Number two, and this is an area where it could affect Jaden Daniels, the injuries that they sustained at wide receiver. Tank Dell tore everything in his knee, mm-hmm, with several games to go. Remember, Nico Collins missed close to a month, several games last year. He's their Terry McLaurin. Now, he's, in my opinion, better. He's more physical. He's just a bigger player, and I love Terry to death. But I think Nico Collins is one of the best receivers in the National Football League now.
Their big acquisition, Diggs, missed a bunch of time, too.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs got hurt and missed a ton of time. So they were pillaged at the wide receiver spot with injuries. If Washington has a situation where our sweet prince, Terry McLaurin, misses a bunch of time, God forbid a couple of other wide receivers go down, you're sure as shooting. You better believe Jaden Daniels is going to have a worse year throwing the football. They don't have the talent. The Texans actually had some where they could sustain it. And then there was also some internal stuff, it seems like, where the offensive coordinator there, Bobby Slowick, who's now been fired after being a head coaching candidate 1 year earlier, was at odds with Stroud at some point throughout the season. The relationship soured a little bit, so they've moved on from him. So I think there are some things that aren't necessarily something you have to worry about here.
Right.
In terms of chemistry with Kingsbury and Daniels, number one. But yes, if injuries happen throughout the wide receiver room, he'll take a step back. If their offensive line stinks up the joint like the Texans did, he'll take a step back. I'm just not sure how realistic those are. And the last thing I'll say is, let's face it, man. Stroud was great, and he did some really good things. His rookie year was amazing. What Jaden Daniels just did was better.
Yeah.
And he's a better prospect, mm-hmm, and he was a better rookie. And so I think that's got to be accounted for, too.
It is, for me, 100%. I guess the general points here, still apply. I don't think the specifics that you just mentioned, and they're correct. There's no issue that I would take with any of them. You're still talking about challenges. Like, if you replayed this past year with all the same factors, okay, so like, you know, you had the same personnel, the same, you know, everything within a game, maybe that Hail Mary doesn't get caught. And you tell somebody, hey, second half of the season, by the way, you have no running game other than you scrambling or a couple design things. Your running game is a disaster. And we're going to play both ball control without being able to run the football. You run all that kind of stuff. You might end up with some worse luck than ended up happening, right? So a regression here without some improvement, I think with a tougher schedule and everything else in year two, the sophomore slump is it's an axiom or it's a phrase for a reason. It's not just some made up thing. You know?
Like, I don't think
there's a lot of headwinds is my point, other than that would get in the way of just walking back to the NFC title game. I guess that's
all. It's certainly not out of the realm of possibility, and it's not something that he's above. I mean, every player could fall victim to it. I just think it's going to take more dominoes falling that affect him negatively from around him than the average guy, because I think he is and was that exception.
Yeah, he's special, yeah.
I would bet against it. But I do think you give teams an offseason to prepare. They're going to have a better plan for him. I think they're going to do a better job, and he's going to have to make some adjustments. But also, at home, outside of division games, they're dealing with a Seattle team coached by Mike McDonald, a Bears team that is defensive-laden and very good on that side of the ball. The Broncos have a really good defense. The Raiders, less worrisome. The Lions, same thing, less worrisome. On the road, three division games, rather. And then you've got at the Packers, who played good defense last year. The Chiefs, traditionally over the last several years, have been very good defensively. The Chargers, tough customers on that side of the ball. Brian Flores and the Vikings won't be a picnic. Falcons, I don't worry much about. Dolphins, I don't worry a whole lot about, but I do think the defensive schedule could be a lot tougher.
100%, and that's one of the things I've kind of circled and pointed to. And that does, even if they played as good as they played last year, talking about Washington's offense and Jaden Daniels leads, that you could be in for worse results because you're playing better opponents. I guess the only thing I'm arguing for here is the assumption that it's all just going to be perfect and easy and seamless. I think Daniels is special. Nothing that happens this year probably is going to change my view on that, even if, you know, there's a setback or we don't have that kind of explosive MVP caliber year. But still, you could be in for some speed bumps.
Yeah,
that's all.
I don't know anyone saying it's going to be super easy and seamless, but if they're saying that, they're probably wrong because it's the National Football League. I don't know that anything is that way for a young player. I was worried if it was going to be freezing out here today. Maybe it's just where I'm sitting in the sun. I've never been hotter than I am right now.
Oh, wow, really?
I have to take off this jacket.
Yeah.
Are you cold?
Yeah, I'm in the shade. I got no sun.
He's in the shade. I'm in the sun. I mean, right now I'm going to take off my jacket and go get a water before I pass out. I've never been hotter than I am in this second right now.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing how the sun works?
Yeah.
Like, the sun is a crazy thing.
The sun is kind of ridiculous.
It's so far away from us.
I know. And then, like,
and it's small, too. It's like the size of a marble.
Yeah, it's like
the
marble. And, it's heating us. Is it really? Really?
I don't believe
it. Is it really heating us? Really?
G&D on the fan. The Masters starts tomorrow. Everybody in America seems excited. And Danny's doing this thing where he covers his ears and yells like NSYNC's on in sixth grade. It's not even the not caring about it. It's the poo-pooing it with everyone else around him excited that has always been weird to me. I want to dive into the psychology of that next on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
It's a special place. I think a lot of players revere this win. They want to win. This is the tournament to win because it's held at the same place. The way they take care of players, the way they talk about the competition, it's just, I don't know any other way to describe it other than an incredibly special, unique place that we all feel there's this different energy that's here.
Bryson DeChambeau talking about Augusta and the Masters. One day out from getting started. Thursday through Sunday, one of the great and iconic sports weeks on the slate. I'm not a big golf fan, never have been. But, like, just about all the casual folks who are sports fans in this country, I've got the Masters on in the background when it's on. And come Saturday and Sunday, I lock in as best I can. It's a fun event because I'm learning about the different golfers based on the broadcast and watching the coverage as kind of an outsider, the same way I would the Kentucky Derby or
sure.
Something like that. The fellow to my right here at Nationals Park, Danny Ruye, does not feel that same pageantry.
Not even a little.
So here's the question I have for you.
Uh-huh.
It is not weird to me that you wouldn't be into it. I'm not into so many things. And I don't even try to get into most things. Like, I'll give the Masters a shot because of the amount of people that are going to be talking about it and because I actually think golf on television is peaceful and aesthetic and it's pretty and it's calming in some ways. But there are things that I don't care about and I will not move my dish 1 degree to try to learn about it. And that's where you are with the Masters.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's the plugging your ears and screaming while people are dancing and singing to the song that I don't get. it's now maybe it's partially just you having fun, but it's the trolling of sorts.
No, it's a very simple thing. So it's several fold. Number one, golf's not a sport. It is a challenging activity. It's like juggling or mathematics. Doesn't make it a sport. The defense can't be grass and ground and trees and dirt, and everybody overdoes it.
It's an activity.
Sure, and I enjoy playing it. I enjoy going out and playing all the time.
But not all the time, but I
like it.
I guess there are people who will argue that. I don't think everyone will, but some will.
Yeah.
And who cares? I mean, that doesn't mean that the Masters is a worse event.
No, it does. It's not a relevant event. And everybody does this pageantry.
Not relevant is not true.
Well, yeah, it's not. It's the only thing good about it is what it was before, and then we just sort of kind of keep this going. Same with the Kentucky Derby, which I don't have any interest in either.
But you don't have the same disdain for the Kentucky Derby. Why is that?
I'm going to get to it. So several very clear, correct explanations to come here. Number one, it's the pretending. It's the last minute. No one knows who anyone is, and all of a sudden, like, come on, Bryson, get legs. Then they're just like golf chatter. When, like, whoever's leading, that's who people root for. The whole thing is a front-runner kind of event. And what's supposed to happen is you grow up in an area, and there are sports teams that you win with, you lose with, and you root for the local players. This is just sort of this weird free-for-all, and everybody roots for whoever's in the lead. That's number one.
But real quick, number two, I will just say the people yelling, come on, Bryson, get legs or whatever, they're in it year-round. They don't just start watching the Masters. A guy like me is not yelling that necessarily. It's a bunch of Valdezes and EBs and Bishes that watch all year, and this is their Super Bowl.
Sure, and I'm getting to that. So where this really started, there's a lot of things I don't watch or don't care about that don't bother me. But when it enters my sphere, then it bothers me. Does that make sense? So if it just stayed the stupid haughty-taughty average age 65 and up thing where you can get a pimento cheese sandwich, I'm supposed to care about that. If it just stayed far away, it'd be just fine. I wouldn't have to watch. I wouldn't care about it. But it enters my world. And here's where this really started. When I'm not here on air, I'm a listener, and I listen to the Sports Junkies. And the best thing in the world is when the Sports Junkies talk about something that I care about, right? It's my favorite thing. I want to hear them discuss the thing that I am interested in. So it drives me crazy when Eric Bickle is going to talk about the movie and he hasn't seen the movie. Or it drives me crazy when they don't know what something is or some culturally relevant deal. And I'm like, no, please, 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 because I just want them to talk about it. That talk that's awesome and wonderful gets interrupted and destroyed by this stupid, stupid event. I used to not care. I care because I now have to, if I'm going to listen to the Junkies, it's that stupid rejoiner with the dumb piano music, and it's quiet talking like this. He's on.
Okay, but JP and EB could say that about opening day for us or something.
Totally they could. And they'd have every right to. They'd have every right to.
But
my point is, that's when I began to hate it. I used to not care. I don't care about the Kentucky Derby. I still don't like all the pretending that everyone's like, come on, journalism major, whatever the stupid horse's name is that everyone's going to care about in 7 seconds and never again.
Yeah, so but where's the – so the disdain is based on the Junkies talking about
that's it? That's how it started. That's when it turned into disdain.
All right.
So I used to not care. It was very deep in not caring. I had to kind of participate because of Tiger Woods because it was such a culture phenomenon. Now there's nothing like that, and none of the golfers are relevant. None of them are stars. No one should care about it at all and should go to where it really belongs, which is like a fifth-tier sport below – it's not even a sport, but like a fifth-tier television activity.
I think people are understanding my curiosity on this as you talk about this. There's like a vitriol that exists.
Yeah.
I was talking to my brother earlier today. We were on a text chain about something, and I won't get into the specifics, but my point is it's not somebody's job to care about that. Like – he's like, they're not watching this thing. And I'm like, it's not my job to watch that thing. I don't like it. I'm not interested in it. I'm not going to watch it. He's like, well, people are mean about it. I'm like, yeah, they shouldn't be mean about it. They shouldn't be. He's like, they're trolling and they're being jerks about it. And I'm like, that's bad. It's not my job to care about it. I'm also not going to be running it down. I feel like there's two ways to handle the song coming on the radio that you don't like. Like, my wife hates the song. I don't know why. But, like, she's like, oh, that white boy anthem, what's it called?
Don't Stop Believing My Journey.
Yes, Journey. She hates it. So anytime a ballpark plays it or it plays somewhere and everyone jumps up and starts singing, she basically, like, covers her ears or goes to the bathroom. She thinks it's the worst. The normal way to respond to something like that is just to act like it's not on. So back when NSYNC would play and everyone was too cool in middle school, you either covered your ears and went, la, 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 like a, just a nubby kid, or you just kind of played along. You're the la-la-la guy with golf.
Yeah, you take out a hammer and you hit this analogy every year. It's not. Here's what it is. I'm having a conversation with you about it. I'm not going to watch it. You ask me my opinion, and I'm giving it to
right.
you.
Right. No, but year-round, but every time golf comes, like the Masters came up 2 days ago, the way I bring it up is you say something like, the event that no one should watch. Like, you don't call it the Masters, or you don't say the golf event. You're like, the event is on for 4 days that no one should watch, and everyone will over-talk about. Like, that is an animus. It's not like you're like, the Masters is on, and then you just move on to the next thing. I think if you're saying you have no, like, extra animus or
I'm very clear
poking the bear the whole time, then I don't think you're being disingenuous.
No, I totally do. I'm very clear about that.
I don't think I'm overplaying your disdain for the song, so to speak.
Yeah, I don't know. It just – that's the analogy you always use, and it doesn't fit for me, but I get
it. I can pick another one if that one bothers you.
But no, but we don't need an analogy. We've got a perfectly reasonable thing to say here or a good encapsulation of it. I don't like it. I used to not care. It's grown to dislike, and that's where I'm at. So I dislike it.
So Sunday, no matter what happens, final round.
I'll be doing something else.
Right.
And it's an easy choice.
Which is fine. That part, I'll never not understand. Because there's so many things that people care about that I don't care about.
Totally. And I know there's a million things that I care about
If you could cut the wire to people's homes so they couldn't watch it, you would cut the wire.
I would. And
so that's the part that I find.
But again, it's because it gets – when it gets to me – there's so many irrelevant things, like Love is Blind, husband, instant spouse, or whatever. I don't care about it. I'll never see it. It doesn't bother me. But if my wife loved it and watched it every night when I came home, when I'm trying to watch the Nats or the Caps or something like that, it would bother me. The Real Housewives or wherever that she used to love watching bothered me because it was in the way of my consumption. It entered my life. So I grew to not, from not caring at a distance to this has now entered the chat. I hate it because it's in my life now.
Jacob Chychrun of the Capitals is about to be in your life.
And I love that.
He will be joining us live on Grant and Danny. First time since Ovi broke the record. Can't wait to talk to Chicky next on The Fan.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.